Let us stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Let us begin our worship service by using words which wonder at the amazing presence of God in our lives. Please, I already said that. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us sing hymn number 138, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let us confess who we are. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are given access to the grace of God. Standing in that grace, we now confess our sins before God, seeking forgiveness and peace. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we confess that we do not always heed the wisdom you offer. We turn toward other marks and means of validation rather than toward you. We remain in awe of our own creation while devouring and decimating yours. Continue to call us, we pray, and to surprise and delight us at your magnificence and majesty. May we always be at awe at your glory and humbled by your nearness. Let our character be shaped toward hope and reflect your peace. Let us be assured of whose we are. Receive this peace extended to us from the God of grace, who has heard our words and who invites us to share shared glory of the resurrected life in which we are made new and whole. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please turn to your fellow congregation members and wave a friendly greeting as God's blessing flows over our meeting today. May his peace be with you all and also with you. You may be seated. Let us pray. God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened. Amen. Though the day of Pentecost is past, the Holy Spirit remains present with us. This Spirit is also known as wisdom, because it guides and inspires us through our lives as God's children. Listen now to how the author of the Proverbs speaks of this wise spirit. I'll be reading from the Old Testament, page 591, if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible. Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 4. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. Also, verses 22 to 31. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race.
Anybody else want to come up? So, yes, today is Trinity Sunday, but the readings this year in the lectionary focus us on the Holy Spirit. So let us now listen to words of the Holy Spirit as written by John in chapter 16, beginning with verse 4.5. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, because they do not believe in... because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take that what is mine and declare it to you. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, you know, it's been quite a while. Over 2.5 years. And I'm ready to go back to the movies. Are any of you ready to go back? Yeah, maybe? I've been to the opera, as I think some people know, that the Metropolitan does there at the movie theater every now and then. There's about 6 people there, but I'm ready to venture into bigger crowds. And I'm excited. And do you know what the first movie I mean to see is? Can you guess? What? Oh, yeah, Maverick with Tom Cruise. Yeah. Obviously, some of us remember when Top Gun came out. Those midair scenes, remember? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Cruise was pretty dashing. I enjoyed some of his other movies, too, as you probably did. Rain Man, Jerry Maguire, and A Few Good Men stand out in my mind. In each one of these, this actor creates a character before our eyes. And like us, those characters exhibit a variety of diverse ways of being in the world. And there's a scene in A Few Good Men that absolutely came to mind when I first read today's passage. You see, Cruz is playing an attorney in the JAG Corps, and he's defending 2 seamen against murder charges. This guy, this attorney, seems cocky and superficial, but over the course of the story, we see his anxious side come out. He's worried that he cannot win the case, and his competitive side so wants to win. Now, the trial hasn't been going well, and it's down to the wire, and his entire case rests on this last testimony. He seems unsure of himself, but he calls the company colonel, played by Nicholson, to the witness stand. Now, we just see one side of the colonel's character, right? He's an officer who's pretty full of himself. He simply wants to give a superficial statement and head out to have lunch with his sister. But Cruz's competitive side has absolutely kicked in. And so does his belief that it is vitally important to make sure the right person is convicted. He wants answers. He wants the truth. So he pushes on. And the colonel pushes right back. It's a stalemate. So in a desperate move, the attorney asks the colonel for the truth about what happened the night of the murder. Now, we expect the colonel to take charge and give a brief but polite response. But he is thoroughly annoyed with this young whippersnapper. And that's where we see a different side of him. His self-control implodes. And he sternly and loudly replies, "You want the truth? You can't handle the truth." From there, the colonel launches into a lengthy list of ugly things that his warriors take care of that he believes that we, the people, would rather not know about. This man is patronizing. He's belittling. He takes a view of people that is absolutely, well, yeah. In scripture, like in the movies, characters show different sides of themselves. For instance, in the opening sentence of today's reading, Jesus seems to be saying that his disciples didn't need to know about some things. And then he tells the 12 that while there are many things they should be told, they could not bear to hear them. They couldn't handle the truth. It would be easy to think that Jesus was, like the colonel, patronizing his followers. But based on the words that Jesus speaks between those two lines, we begin to see a different side of him. We begin to get the sense that he chose to take on the harder issues by himself as a way of protecting and caring for them like a gentle big brother would. And isn't it just like a big brother to remember what it was like to learn to walk, to learn how to walk before you could run, and in both cases fall down and have to get back up repeatedly? That's tough physically. It's tough mentally. It's hard to know what to say to small children when a beloved pet is about to die. Or when, for no apparent reason, a wildfire has swept away your best friend's home. How on earth could Jesus really tell his friends of the resurrection to come? Isn't that even incomprehensible to us nowadays? Yet reading between the lines, you can hear Jesus gently letting his companions know that he won't always be with them. Those are hard words for anyone to hear. So he softens the news by saying that when he leaves them behind, he'll send someone to them who will take on the harder issues as they continue to learn and grow. He'll send an advocate to them. An advocate? How does that soothe the hearts of his followers? Does Jesus mean they are about to face earthly hardships and perhaps a wrathful God and will need the services of a defense attorney? Much as accused seamen in the movie needed Cruz as their attorney? Sometimes feeling God's goodness is really hard to do in John's gospel. It's full of challenging phrases like this. But thankfully, if you look at the Greek, the original text, you'd see that John uses the word parakletos here, which means the paraclete. You may have heard that word. And there are several ways to translate the paraclete. And of those options, in this context, our word companion feels most authentic to John's meaning. That word shows us an entirely different characteristic than we might expect. For a companion is literally one with whom to break bread. Com means with, pan is bread, companion. And this seems to fit more with the personal pastoral claim that the disciples, as well as John's original readers, won't be left alone despite their apparent aloneness. So with this vision in their heads, and in their hearts, the disciples well may have felt comforted. But then again, perhaps advocate is just as good a word. After all, John tells us that this Spirit will show the world how wrong it is about sin and righteousness and judgment. And isn't lending expert testimony and giving advice part of an advocate's role? For that matter, nowadays, family courts in Ohio often appoint a support person for children involved in complicated legal matters. They're called CASAs, court-appointed special advocate. And these adults work gently with those they serve. And when the time comes, they compassionately advocate on behalf of those who would have difficulty speaking for themselves. Advocate. Now, it sounds as if this spirit is stating God's case about matters of great import and humankind's inability to live blameless, just, and true lives. So, advocate? Companion? Both? Our English language simply cannot hold the fullness of the meaning of the word parakletos. And this spirit is capable of revealing many sides of itself simultaneously. What's more, the spirit is to guide people in all truth, tell the world what is coming, glorify Jesus, and take what is his and proclaim it to the world. Now that is a complicated being. This spirit, this advocate, this companion, has even more sides. Remember last week, Luke's description of this same paraclete demonstrated its incredible power by appearing as tongues of flame that gave the disciples the ability to talk with other Jews in the language of their homelands? And Proverbs, let me get that out. Proverbs, that Bev just read. Oh my goodness. Proverbs tells us that, Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, and for my mouth will utter truth. And it goes on, the Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. And now, John reveals yet another side of the Spirit to his readers. John names this being the Spirit of Truth. And he's not talking about truth here as a matter of affirming facts. It's not that definition of truth. There are many definitions. In this one, he means something or being that expresses the belief worthy and real state of a particular thing. The belief worthy and real state of a particular thing. So this spirit is something we can trust, something that we can have faith in. And the primary characteristic of it will exhibit its ability to guide us into belief that Jesus' way, his life, his very being, his truth, is how God wants us to live. And through that faith, we will be guided by the same Spirit into compassionate acts that affirm the lives of those we meet, just as did Jesus. And while this Spirit will guide us as individuals, it is especially empowered to encourage and act through groups of people, most notably the body of Christ on earth. This Holy Spirit of truth reveals to us as Christ's church the truth of God's way, and it will mold us as a group into Jesus' full image. In so doing, this group, this body, will testify that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are belief worthy, and that his truth is a shining light in the darkness of the world. So when we, in turn, reflect his light, we are glorifying him. Now, like an actor playing a character in a movie, the spirit is pretty well-rounded, pretty robust, and chock-full of life-giving blessings. But even better, this Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to remain with us always, to inspire us to worship God here in this sanctuary and out in the world where we minister to all people on Jesus' behalf. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Companion, the Comforter, and the Spirit of Truth is a many-sided being, resplendent in God's hope for us that we will live in the truth of Jesus' life. This is a truth that we say we can handle, and it is my prayer that we will. Friends, our faith teaches that the Spirit is but one facet of our God. For our God is, yes, three persons of one substance, one person with three faces. And that God is greater and wiser, more powerful and creative and good than anything in the universe. And that same God was present with us fully in human skin and bone and is forever present with us as the Spirit's breath. Without a doubt, these three, together as one, are far more complete than any movie character can ever be. Our God is more than we can imagine, and our God is truth. Friends, here is the good news. Before we were knitted together in our mother's womb, the spark of God's love was given to us. God's truth was implanted deep within our hearts, and its spark lit our faith in the one true God who remains ever faithful to us as people and as a people. And each day, the Spirit of the living God blows over life's flame, encouraging all of us in times of difficulty and doubt, and reminding us of the joy that rises up from the hope-filled love that God offers us. Thanks be to God for the gift of wisdom, companionship, advocacy, truth, and life. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing. Let us continue to raise our voices to our triune God by professing our faith together. We believe in God, maker and remaker of everything that is, in whom there is always more and more to come, and by whose wonder, work, and will even the dead find life. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ, maker and remaker of tables and tales, in whom the welcome is wide, the feasting free, and by whose weeping, words, and wounds even the lost are found. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, maker and remaker of imagination, whose eyes see over the horizon, beyond the end, and by whose urgency and fire even the truth gets told. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we also believe that everything that lives can be reborn. All hidden things can come to light. All broken things can be remade. The empty larder can be filled, and promises gone stale and hard can taste like bread again. And we believe the old, old story can be told again to thrill sad hearts like rediscovered love, that even lost and frightened lambs like us can be retrieved, restored to courage, and declare the truth that makes the tyrants tumble and the captives free.
Let us gather our hearts and lift them up to the living God. O God, you are both infinite and intimate, known and unknowable, transcendent and transparent. In love, you have made us your own and invite us to join in the divine dance of Father, Son, and Spirit. Thank you for blessing us with such abundance. We come before you in thanksgiving for all the gifts you have showered upon us, the refreshing coolness and beauty of June, the lives of those who love and care for us and the community in which we live. We thank you especially for the gift of families who journey through life with us to share your love. Let us bring one another joy so we might in turn share that joy with the world you so love. We are also grateful that you have caused us to be part of a connectional church, and we lift up the Barlow, Creston, and Frazeesburg congregations for your blessing. Strengthen each one and us that we may find strength in your truth, and in that strength live fully into the service to which you have called us at this moment in time. We ask you to hear us now as we come to you in humbleness and ask that you pay special attention to the leaders of the nations. Guide them so they might experience your power and in turn work to glorify you in all ways. We pray for this earth and all the life upon it. Help us to be the good stewards you have asked us to be, that this place may be fruitful not just for our own generation, but for all generations that come after us. We now lift up to you those who grieve a loss or an ending, be it of earthly life or separation from loved ones for any reason. be with them in ways that speak to their hearts so they may feel your peace. We pray for those whose bodies are broken, are frail, or suffering illness. We pray for those who are lonely and those who live on the edge of poverty and all those who have lost hope. Let them know to be not afraid, for you are with them. We pray for those whose lives are in chaos after natural disasters or local violence, and especially from wars of aggression by neighboring countries. Strengthen them so they may rebuild their lives. These people need your blessings and the peace-filled hope that only you can give. Hold them in your heart that they may sense the comfort that you alone can bring. Let them feel the refreshing renewal of your holy breath upon their weary faces and the sure support of Jesus' arms as he holds them upright in your presence. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus first taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and glory forever. Amen. Be peace in your soul. Let there be love like an ocean and joy like a fountain. For the Lord remains with us through the wisdom and the hope and the truth of the companion, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, in whose company you walk each and every day. So go out into the world to share this joy, this love, this peace with all you meet, knowing that you go with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the community of the Holy Spirit that draws us together as one body, Christ's body on earth. Amen and amen.